from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 and verses 31. 9 and 31. I'm going to go to 31 first, if my eyes can see it here. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow or for what tomorrow brings. Each day has enough of itself. And then also, again, from chapter 6, verse 9, where it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want to begin this morning with a simple definition. And that simple definition comes by way of this word. Twitter. What is Twitter? Anyone, what does Twitter mean? What's Twitter? Thank you. Social media. Is that what Twitter is? Because in my world, Twitter is something that a bird does, something that birds speak, whether it be a chirp, a tweet, a Twitter. If you look up Twitter in the dictionary, under verb, it has to chatter, to trill, to wobble, warble, to sing. That's what Twitter is. But then quickly and close behind it now is added to the dictionary to post on social media site called Twitter. Twitter. What is Twitter? If you look at it as a noun, it is a short or a high-pitched call or sound. Twitter. And when I think about the definition of Twitter, I don't think, obviously, it's a coincidence that they picked that for a name for the social media site. But the problem is, when I think about it, I think about birds twittering. I think about birds chirping. I think about birds tweeting and peeping and making these noises that just seem like nothing to me. And when I think about twittering and social media, so often it seems like chirping and cheeping and peeping and all these noises that mean nothing. We have sadly been reminded of it of late because of, in my mind, the president's willingness to bring Twitter to the forefront of his presidency. And to look at the things that are said and the responses that are said and the things that happen, and it just seems like a bunch of babbling, a bunch of warbling. And in Scripture, it talks about prayer, and before Jesus says anything about prayer, he says to his disciples, make sure that you're not like the pagans who babble. The pagans who babble, the pagans who twitter, the pagans who chirp, and who, again, make these noises, and yet none of it really makes sense. He warns the disciples before anything else to not stand before God and basically go, blah, 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 blah. To not stand there before God and simply and make no sense whatsoever. It goes on in the passage to say, don't offer up that babbling or those vain petitions. Vain being a key word. Vain meaning it's all about me. Petitions meaning these personal causes that are out there. Jesus warns the disciples before he gets into the outline of how to pray to not sit there and simply twitter. To not sit there and simply babble. But instead to say something that means something. To not just reduce this connection to just a bunch of tweets, a bunch of warbles, a bunch of chirps that really have no depth or meaning whatsoever. He really says to them, don't sit there and babble. Build a relationship. Build a connection. Tell me what's really meaningful in your heart. And so before he does anything else, Jesus says, make this time special. Not flippant, not quick, not just chirping, but special. Or Jesus says, offer up the facts. When you pray and when you close that door, when you seek me in that private place, when it's in the secret of prayer, give me the facts of what is going on. Develop the intimacy with me by giving me the facts. Build up the relationship by giving me the facts. Don't leave it at babbling. Give me the facts. What do I mean? Facts. The first thing that we need to do when we close that door and connect with God is express our faith. We don't immediately move to, oh Lord, my day was just horrible and I don't know what to do and I don't blah, 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 blah. Stop. And start with the facts. First of all, faith. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I have faith in you, the Father, in Jesus, the Son, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I have a trust. I have faith. F. And then you move into A, adoration. The whole idea that it begins with this idea of coming out of your soul. Lord, I love you. I long to connect with you. I long to develop this relationship with you. Again, first that trust, then that love, then C, confession. There is no room for self-righteousness with God. Again, we get together and we babble about how great we are and what a great week we had. And oh, Lord, this is awesome. And wow, this is... Stop and connect by admission of, you know, Lord, I've also let you down. And I've let myself down. And I've let my family down. And I've let my colleagues down. I've let my classmates down. Whatever it might be, that there is no self-righteousness. So that we, again, express that F, faith, A, adoration, C, confession. Now, we're growing closer and we give thanks. Says clearly in Scripture that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. That we give thanks in all circumstances. It says in Scripture that the pagans know God, but they do not give thanks to God. Again, when we develop a relationship and when we offer up the facts, it starts with faith and then adoration and then confession and then thanksgiving. And finally, you move to that place of supplication. Because after expressing that faith, that adoration, that confession and thanksgiving, that relationship is at a high point. We've shared our hearts. We've shared our innermost thoughts. We've shared the concerns of life, and now we can lay before God our requests, our concerns, the things that we need to nurture in this world. And so again, when we get past the babbling, we need to offer up the facts. When I thought about this, it struck me that what if we applied this to our marriages? What if we applied this to our families? What if we applied this to our classmates, our teammates? What if we applied it to the people around us in the world? What do I mean? You come home, you're not connecting with your kids or your wife. Immediately, so often, we go to supplication. You need to do this. You need to be this way. You need to say this. What if instead we sat down and we said, hey, I trust you and I love you. By the way, you're amazing and you're wonderful. And I know that sometimes I make mistakes, but I am thankful that we're together. Now, what's going on? How much would that improve our relationships if we were willing to live in that manner? And it would be an example to us of that invisible relationship with the living God. The fact that when we do those things, God knows us better. We know God better. So don't babble, but instead of babbling, share the facts with God. And then when he finally begins to unfold before us that outline of prayer, he begins with an example of relationship. Before today, if I were to have asked you, do you know the Lord's Prayer? Some people here would have said, yeah, I know the Lord's Prayer. Other people would say, yeah, I've heard the Lord's Prayer. Some people would say, no, I don't know the Lord's Prayer. When people were asked the question, what is the Lord's Prayer? A majority of them answered this way. Do you know the Lord's Prayer, general public? The answer was, yes, I know the Lord's Prayer. The next question was, can you tell me what the Lord's Prayer is? And the general public said, yes, I can. And when asked to recite it, they said this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's what our world understands to be the Lord's Prayer. And the reason is because in many ways, for many people, it's become just a repetition. It's become something that is a tradition, something that's stored away. And yet Jesus said, when his disciples asked, teach us to pray, then pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do you understand how scandalous this was? That Jesus tells his disciples, first of all, when you pray, when you close the door, when you want to connect with the living God, when you want to know Yahweh, call him Dad. All the disciples were raised in a community where you weren't allowed to utter the name of God, Yahweh. And yet here Jesus starts out and says, by the way, don't even worry about saying his name. Go ahead and call him Dad. Go ahead and call him Father. It was scandalous for Jesus to say it's okay to speak of the most powerful God in a manner in which you say, Father. It speaks to the relationship that God wants with us. It speaks to the connection of the relationship Christ wants with us. It speaks to the choice that we have. Who is our Father? Again, in Scripture, if you look in John 8, you'll see that some call Satan Father. And Jesus says, no, call my Father your Father. Scandalous. His disciples must have said, what is he talking about? And yet, as time has unfolded, we need to understand that God adopts us. And when God adopts us, we are able to call him Father. We are born into a relationship with a living God, Father. And when Jesus says, this is how you pray, the first thing he tells us is, this is the one who is your Father. Your parent. Your loving guardian. Your adopted caretaker, the one who wants to hear from you and hear the facts of life, not just blah, blah, blah babbling. This is the one who is heaven, is in heaven. And because of that, there is a reverence. This is the one who is hallowed because we are called to put God first. But make no mistake that Jesus begins by saying, our Father. And it's in that that we can take a great comfort. That it wasn't our almighty, omnipotent, overseeing, living God. It wasn't, oh, mysterious one of the clouds and of the sky. It wasn't, oh, who is, who might be, who will be. For the first time, Jesus said, when you pray, say our Father. Our Father, who loves us, adopts us, walks with us, and loves us unconditionally. Hallowed be your name. So this morning, are you ready to stop babbling? Because your Father knows when you're babbling. Your Father knows when it's time to say, calm down and give me the facts. And are you ready to share your faith and your adoration, your confession, your thanksgiving, your supplication with your Heavenly Father, who says, I'm here right now beside you to guide you, to care for you, a Father for your life here on earth. Jesus starts out with saying, hey, Dad, I got something to tell you. And God says, okay, I'll listen. Amen.